Yeah, that's about it. Okay, so Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Let's say the reference. Then we'll read those two verses and followed by the reference. Here we go. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Father, bless now the moments that we have together as we contemplate this great law of the harvest that you have for us, Lord. And I pray that when it's all said and done, we will glean from this, and learn from this, Lord, and be blessed from this, and come out more Christ-like in what we think, say, and do, Lord, more knowledgeable about what you're wanting to do in our lives and in our hearts, and Lord, what you want to challenge us with through the course of this study. And help us, Lord, to be so aware that we are sowing every day, and we will reap the same as we sow, Lord. And so help us be conscious of that. Help us to be Christ-like in our sowing and to sow that which would be something that we would definitely love to reap when the end is come near and the harvest has come due. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless now, open our eyes, and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, we are in lesson number 12, and we read the overview last week. This is the law of the harvest. This is a principle that you either like it or you don't like it. Amen. You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow good, you're going to reap good. Amen. And if bad, then bad. But let me give this to you. Notice in your overview there, it says that we sow seeds every moment of our lives. And then notice that second sentence. This law guarantees us that we will reap the benefits or what's that word? Consequences of what's the next word? Whatever seeds we sow. Therefore, comma, we must invest our lives in planting godly seeds. Why? To reap a godly harvest. By the way, may I share this with you, some of our reaping that you and I are reaping right now, and some of the reaping that we reaped earlier is the sowing from our parents. And sometimes you don't really realize that. You say, hey, look, I didn't do this or I didn't do that, so I shouldn't get this or I shouldn't get that. Some of the reaping that we are getting is because of our parents' sowing that they sowed. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. Amen. Was that? That's not fair, amen. Not fair, amen. By the way, if I plant an apple tree today, when am I going to expect some apples? My children will get most of the apples. I won't get most of the apples. I may see some of the apples, but for the tree to get to maturity is going to take some time. Unless I get one of those dwarf trees, it's only going to get about this big. But if I want a real apple tree that's going to really give me some good apples, it's going to take some years before this tree actually grows to maturity and is able to produce again and again and again. Y'all with me on that?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And so if I plant that, my children will get the blessing of that. I may get some of that, but the majority of that I'm not going to get just because of the time that it takes. My dad bought some property down in Georgia. It's 4 acres, and he's got pecan trees on it. And there's a whole orchard of pecan trees on there. Guess what? My dad didn't plant any of those trees. But guess what he's getting? Getting pecans. And he goes and sells the pecans.
Wow.
Guess what? Somebody planted those years ago. And he's getting the blessing of them planting that years ago. And so when we receive some reaping now, some of that is because of our parents sowing. And some of that is good and some of that is not so good. So you've got to keep that in mind. I'm not going to say a lot of your sowing, but some of your sowing, your children are going to reap. You say, oh boy, amen.
Oh boy.
So what you sowed, some of your children are going to reap. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. Okay, so that's the law of the harvest. How many don't like that?
Oh, boy.
If it's good, I like it. If it's bad, I don't like it. Amen. So that's why this is so important. And the main goal that the lesson says, everyone understand that we are constantly sowing seeds, either good or bad. Sowing seeds are pleasing to the Lord. And on that subject of our reaping, we started going over a list that I had from last week. And I want to finish that list out this morning before we go on. When we talk about some of what our parents sowed, we are reaping now. Okay? We dealt with David just a little bit. But let me read to you some of what David got back from his sowing. David's high-handed sin with Bathsheba and his subsequent murder of her husband Uriah was to bring down upon his head the severe retribution of God. Now notice this. When Nathan the prophet denounced David, he told David that he would pay fourfold for what he did. Okay? Now, why fourfold? Remember, when it was the fictitious scenario was played out to David. And the prophet came and said, this is what happened. What did David say to the prophet should happen to the perpetrator? He should pay fourfold. That's what he said. Now, why fourfold? That was according to the Mosaic law. That's what should have happened. And so when David did this, he paid fourfold. Now notice this. Four of his sons died in fulfillment of the terrible prophecy. He sold adultery and murder, and he reaped adultery and murder in his family. There was the terrible and immoral and unprincipled behavior of Amnon, his son, with his half-sister Tamar, which was the sister of Absalom. But now, how could David invoke the death penalty on Amnon, his son, for violating his sister when he himself had committed adultery with Bathsheba?
Well, he may not have to do that, but he should have done something.
He should have done something. What did the Mosaic law call for? Death. But now he was guilty of the same thing. And then it goes on to say this. When it became evident that David was not going to uphold the law and punish the unprincipled Amnon, Absalom, his son and his brother, Amnon's brother, took the law in his own hands and murdered Amnon, his brother. Again, how could David invoke the death penalty for murder as the law required against Absalom when he himself had in the conscience the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband? So how am I going to convict my son for murder when I am guilty of murder? How am I going to convict my other son of adultery when I had committed adultery with this person? And it goes on to say this. Again, how could David invoke the death penalty for murder as law required against Absalom when he himself had the murder of Uriah on his mind? When he sowed, what he sowed, he reaped. And unfortunately, he didn't like it. Yes, ma'am.
God did forgive him.
Yes.
And because he was king, he still had the responsibility. Whether he felt convicted or not, he still needed to do what was right. And he didn't do anything.
Exactly. And that's why they did what they did.
Yeah.
Because he didn't come down on them. And he should have come down on them.
Yes.
That's true.
So he did have the right to convict them because he was king.
And he did, but he did not do it.
Right. I'm just saying he needed to because he was.
We understand that. Amen. And notice what it goes on to say. What he sowed, he reaped. It is most instructive to trace the law of sowing and reaping in David's life to see David laying down with his own hands the paving stones along with the judgment of God that traveled in his life. God was not to be mocked even by a man after his own heart. Wow. So the reaping, the sowing that David did, what happened? It was received by his children, even though they weren't a part of that. And so some of the sowing and reaping that you and I will do, our children will get, both good and bad. By the way, we can't escape this. I mentioned this last week. Abraham sold to the flesh and reaped Ishmael. Who's suffering with Ishmael's descendants today? We are, as well as Israel.
But I'm just saying it's still going on
today. Yes, it's still going on. So Israel is reaping what Abraham sowed way back, and he's called the father of faith. And also we are, why? Because of Ishmael came the Arabs, which came Islam. So we're still suffering with that to this day. So again, you see that what Abraham did back there is not only affecting us. Did it affect Abraham a whole lot in his lifetime? It really didn't. Didn't really affect Abraham a whole lot. He gave Ishmael all of his goods and said, okay, off with you. Send him away. And he was sent away from Isaac. And the next time we find Ishmael coming together was when Abraham died. And they went to go bury him. He and Isaac. Jacob sold to the flesh and he reaped Simeon and Reuben. Remember what Simeon and Reuben did? They went in and killed all those folks off. But Jacob did some unruly things himself. Lot sold to the flesh and reaped two sons called Moab and Amnon. Remember how Lot got the children, though? Anybody remember how Lot got the children? He had incest with his two daughters. Now, they got him drunk and they got pregnant, but Moab and Amnon would be enemies to Israel for a long time. Again, Samson sold to the flesh and he reaped blindness and bondage. Eli sold to the flesh. He reaped Hophni and Phinehas. And they were wicked before the Lord. And we go down to David. David sold to the flesh and reaped a guy by the name of Ahithophel. Anybody know who Ahithophel is? Ahithophel. Ahithophel joined Absalom in the revolt against David when Absalom tried to take the throne. But now, who was Ahithophel? Anybody know who he was? Grandfather. Bathsheba's grandfather. Ahithophel looked at this and said, how dare you kill my grandson and take my granddaughter? And so guess what? I'm mad about that. And so as a result of that, he teamed up with Absalom to try to overthrow David. Sowing and reaping. So Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba and became Absalom's advisor. Solomon sold to the flesh and he reaped a Rehoboam who divided the nations up. So it doesn't always come to you. It comes through you. By the way, Solomon retained his kingdom because David was given a promise that he would. And so because God gave David the promise, he said, I'm going to let Solomon stay there. But guess what? Solomon's son then lost the kingdom.
Yes, he did.
But Solomon kept it because David's sowing. And because of the sowing that Solomon did, his son Rehoboam lost it. So it doesn't always come to you. It comes to others. Enoch sold to the spirit. He reaped the rapture. Noah sold to the spirit and reaped salvation. But of course, Noah got drunk too.
Yes, he did.
And as a result, Canaan got cursed. Joseph sowed to the Spirit and reaped a Christ-like character. Moses sowed to the Spirit and reaped the Mount of Transfiguration. Joshua sowed to the Spirit and reaps up the conquest of Canaan. But Joshua also sowed to the flesh and didn't consult God when it came to a certain nation that he should have evicted, and he didn't. And he got in trouble about that. So and on it goes about different people that sowed and the results. Read you a story that they give for an illustration about we reap what we sow. The author is John Phillips. He says, when I first joined the staff of the Moody Bible Institute, the radio pastor of the Moody network was a godly man named Robert J. Little. The more one came to know this beloved brother, the more one appreciated him. He was a giant in the scriptures, a humble and able man with a big heart and a lot of interest. A vast and varied radio audience loved him, and the church respected and revered him. His knowledge of the scriptures was encyclopedic. We often put him to the test during our coffee breaks, like the Queen of Sheba with Solomon. We plied him with hard questions. We never knew him to fail. One day in his later years, an elderly brother came up to him after a service and said, "Brother Little, I wish I had your knowledge of the Bible." RJ looked at him for a moment, then said, "My dear brother, you are too late. In fact, I would judge that you're about 50 years too late. If you wanted my knowledge of the Bible, you should have started 50 years ago." "I did. I've been studying my Bible diligently and intensively for 50 years. That's how I gained my knowledge of the Bible. I'm sorry to tell you, my brother, that you can never have my knowledge of the Bible. You have left it far too late to start. It's a case of sowing and reaping." That's an interesting illustration. The guy said, I want your knowledge. He said, "Well, you want my knowledge? I started 50 years ago." And for you to have it, you've got to have 50 years to get it. Amen. And so it is with sowing and reaping. Look at our verse again. It says down there, Galatians 6:7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So the entirety of this lesson says, don't give up, don't give up the ship. Don't stop doing that which is right because you're going to reap. But also be mindful that if I sow bad, I'm going to get that as well. I may not get it all, but my children may get some of that as well. Amen. All right. By the way, how many of y'all recognize that our president, Donald Trump, inherited his money from his dad?
Amen, Pastor. Well, he did. Yes, he did, Pastor.
So he didn't work for any of his money.
No, he didn't.
His millions were given to him.
Yes, sir.
So guess what? His dad sold, and Donald Trump reaped millions.
Yeah, he did.
And his dad gave him millions to get himself started. And he said, now take that and invest it. Somebody gave you about $40, $50 million to invest it and get started. How good do you think you would do? Probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why he'd go and say, "You're fired. You're fired." Yeah, amen. Because he never had to work himself. Amen. So he could fire people. So because of his father's sowing, he reaped it.
Yes, sir, he did.
Amen. So let's look at some things here in our book here, and we're going to fill in some things this morning. So everybody get the principle here of sowing and reaping. All right. You reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. So let's get some things filled in here with the time that we've got left. And again, my thoughts of this was that once you got saved, all of your stuff was forgiven and passed away. Now, is it forgiven? Is God going to bring it up? No.
No, Pastor.
But guess what? I planted seeds.
Yes, sir.
And the seeds are going to crop up.
Yes, sir, it
is. And unfortunately, sometimes you see the seeds in your own children. Some of the things that my children do, I see myself in them. And I'm thinking, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My goodness.
I remember doing that to my parents.
Whoa.
And my children are much worse. I told my dad when G2 was born, he used to run all over the place. I said, Dad, I don't understand it. I said, the boy will not walk. I said, he runs every place. He's a million miles an hour. And my dad laughed. He said, he could be nowhere near how fast you were. He said, you ran everywhere. You would not walk to save your life. And I thought, and I'm getting it back now. Come here, Gregory. He go the opposite way. You catch him and sit him down. All right, now you stay right there. I said, Dad, when did I get it? He said, when I got you. So he'll get it when I get him. Okay, amen. So we got that down, amen. So some of it you will see in your children, amen. So let's go ahead and let me read to you what this introduction says here, because it's pretty good. It says, our transforming truth for this lesson is a law, something that will definitely happen. On this earth, we have the law of gravity. What goes up must what?
Come down.
Our laws of science may have a few exceptions, but this law in the Bible has no exceptions. Wow. According to Galatians 6:7, we will reap what we sow, without exception. This law is exciting because it gives us confidence that we will see fruit of our labor if we faint not. This law is also challenging because it teaches us that we will reap consequences for sowing bad seeds. We can choose what seeds to sow. We don't have to sow bad seeds. Praise God. We can sow good seeds and reap a good harvest. But if we do sow wicked seeds, we should to expect to reap the consequences. Amen. The choice is up to us. Amen. So we're going to look at three laws of the harvest. Roman numeral one is going to be you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. We looked at the background of Galatians last week, and we understand that the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. So a man sow it, that's also reap. Amen. By the way, if you are a gardener and you plant an apple tree, what should you expect? Goes without saying. If you plant meanness and unkindness, what do you expect? If you plant politeness, what can you expect? What if I plant nothing but kindness, but I get back nothing but unkindness? What can I surmise from that? Possibly my mother or father did the sowing. Possibly my grandmother or grandfather did the sowing. And the tree is coming due. And who's getting the reaping? I am. Yes, ma'am. And this is true too. Amen. Maybe they're planting bad seeds on me. But by the way, I mentioned this before. When things happen to us, does God control our reaction? He never controls our reaction. When bad things happen to us, we don't have to react negatively. We don't. We can react positively and godly. So God's never going to control how we react. He's always going to let that be up to you and I. So a gardener, when he gardens, if he plants watermelons, he's not surprised when watermelons show up and so forth and so on. Amen. Whatever you sow, you're going to plant. So Roman A is going to be this. C, huh? What's that? A, see your thoughts, words, and actions as seeds. As seeds. See your thoughts, words, and actions as seeds. By the way, do you and I really realize that we're planting seeds every moment of every day? We really don't. But that it's really true. Every thought that we think plays a role in molding our character. Why? Thoughts produce what? Actions. Actions produce what? Habits. Yep. Habits produce what? Character. And character produces lifestyle, and lifestyle is who you are. Or you can switch those around. Thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produce lifestyle, and lifestyle produces character. Character is who you are. That's just the way it goes. Amen. So I've got to think it before I do it. We were little. We would call our siblings, we would call each other stupid. And guess what mom came in there and said? Don't call each other stupid. And we said, but they're acting stupid. And my mother said this, if you continue to tell them that they're stupid, they will what? Believe that they are stupid. And if I believe I am stupid, how will I act? Stupid. And if I believe that I'm stupid and I act stupid, then my character is going to be of stupidity. Make sense? Similarly, if you continue to tell a child they're bright and they're smart, what are they going to believe? They're bright and they're smart. And then how are they going to act? Bright and smart. Now, that's not always true, but it's more true than it's false. If you continue to encourage a child to try again and try again, guess what that child's going to believe? That I can try again.
Yes.
If you tell that child you're a failure, you'll never amount to anything, what's that child going to believe? What's the use of even trying? I'm a failure. It's not going to amount to anything. Oh, you'll never be anything in life. You'll never amount to anything.
Oh,
now, there's the exception to the rule. The kid will say, I'm going to prove to you that I will be something.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove it to you. Amen? So thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Let me read to you what they say here about thoughts. A person who dwells on past hurts becomes bitter. A lustful thought can lead to immoral lifestyle. Those who daydream will neglect their responsibilities. If I become infatuated with something, I can allow that to become an idol in my heart. What are we saying here? My thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produce lifestyle, and lifestyle produce character, and character is who I am. So when you come down here, my thoughts and my words and actions are seeds. Come over to Philippians 4:8 because they give you what you and I should be thinking on. Philippians 4:8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Again, we're dealing with sowing and reaping. See your thoughts, words, and actions as seeds. Philippians 4:8. And notice Philippians 4:8 says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are what? Honest. Whatsoever things are what? Just. Whatsoever things are what? Pure. Whatsoever things are what? Lovely. Whatsoever things of what? Good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If these things are virtuous and if these things are praiseworthy, he says, these are the things you want to think on. If I think on those things, what am I possibly going to begin to plant in my own life? Good thoughts equal what? Good actions.
Good actions
are going to equal what? Good habits.
Good habits
are going to equal what? Good lifestyle.
Good
lifestyle is going to equal what? Good character.
Yes, sir.
So if I'm doing these things here, and if I'm thinking on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, it can make a difference in my life. By the way, my thoughts should be viewed as seeds, and the Bible says, think on these type of things or plant these type of seeds mentally. Why? It's going to produce something good. Now, if I take that away and think on the opposite, bad things, things that are, where are we at here, verse 8, things that are not honest, things that are unjust, things that are impure, things that are unlovely, things that are bad report, what's going to happen then? Likewise, the negative. And so it behooves us to think on that which is true and honest, just pure and lovely. So when you look at Philippians 4:8, our thoughts should be viewed as seeds. But then we've got the second part there. What else? Our words must be viewed as seeds as well. They give you James 3:4-8. Let's go over there. James 3:4-8. Now, by the way, when should we be conscious of our thoughts and our words? All times. Every day. Does that go with our children? Yes. Does it go with our boss? Yes. Does it go with brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes. Does it go with our parents? Yes. Does it go with our grandparents? Yes, 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 and yes. Hebrews, come over to James And we've got James 3 and verse number 4. And let me get there here. Notice what it says, behold also the ships which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now notice that they're great, but they're driven by a very small helm. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a what type of member? Little member and boast is what? Great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, and the tongue is a what? A fire. By the way, how much can a little match catch on fire? Oh, an entire house. Oftentimes, brush fires are started by a little cigarette butt that somebody threw out. And one little ember got something that was dry, and now acres are on fire from one little ember. On the same, one little word that you say can make or break someone. One little word can make or break someone. You ever been going through the cash register line and the cash attendant just having a bad day? And you say something like, thank you, or God bless you, or God loves you, and you see him melt. Man, I needed to hear that. You don't know how that made me feel. You don't know what that did to me. Yeah, I was kind of talking to G2 a couple days ago. Basketball season's over. And I was talking about his shot. And I said, son, I said, you've got a very good shot. He said, really? Man, Dad, I need to hear that. Why? His shot wasn't falling. And I said, son, you got a good shot. I said, just keep shooting. He said, I needed to hear that. One word, well, not one phrase. I said, you got a good shot. He said, man, I need to hear that. Why? He was beginning to think that he didn't because it wasn't going in. It wasn't falling. I said, you look at some of the best shooters out there. They have slumps. They have when they miss. I said, just keep shooting. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Keep trying.
You'll be fine. And he said, you don't know how much that meant to hear you say that. I'm not the coach. But guess what? I carry a lot of weight. And because of what I said, it encouraged him. Small word. Notice down there in verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire. Word of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every beast, every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can who? No man tame. What is it? It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We have the potential to tear down or build up with our tongue. If no man can tame the tongue, whose control does it have to be in? Not ours. We can't do it. Through God's power, the Holy Spirit. So we've got to take our tongue and let God then tame our tongue because we can't do it. So we've got to view our thoughts as seeds and our words as seeds and see the power that we possess with our words. But then the last part of that is dealing with our actions. Our actions are seeds as well. Amen. By the way, never take lightly the words that you say to your children. If you and I can recall, there are probably certain things that you recall that your parents told you that were good, that helped you out in the long run. There were also some things maybe they told you that were bad that maybe kind of hindered you in the long run. Why? Words are important. They really are. I remember my mother taught me a valuable lesson. My oldest sister, who's a doctor right now, used to get straight A's. And then my other sister came along and she would get B's and C's. And then my mother's treatment of my oldest was different of my other. I said, well, stop. She gets A's. And so, you know, you say this about her. She gets B's and C's. And that's acceptable. I said, why doesn't she be made to get A's? Mother said, I know her potential. And her potential is a BC student. She said, now, none of my children are CD students. She said, none of my children are that way. The oldest one has a little bit more intellect as far as this school ability is concerned. She said, now this middle one here, this other one, she may be a BC student, but she's A in life. She's A in practicality. She's A in this and this. The other one is not A in life and practicality. She sees things different. And so she began to gauge them not upon each other, but upon themselves. And so I came along thinking, well, I must be a DC because I'm not going to even try. I don't want to study. She said, that's not who you are. She said, you're a B student. She said, you're AB. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. I said, I don't want to be an AB student. She said, that's regardless. That's what you are. And I'm going to gauge you on that, so you better not come home with anything lower than an A or B. Guess what I didn't come home with? Anything lower than AB. I didn't. She knew me, and she gauged me on that. Then I had a little sister who was totally different than all three of us. And she didn't like school at all. She's an actress. Now, I'm not saying actresses don't like school. Amen. But she was a comic. She is a play on words. She is a get before you and take your words and make something out of it. And that's just the way she is. She's a ham. I mean, she's a total ham. But my mother taught me a lesson that just because this one gets A's doesn't mean that I have to get A's. Because this one gets B's and C's doesn't mean I have to get B's and C's. Just because this one doesn't like school, it's based upon who I am. And so her words to me made a difference in my life. And your words to your children will mean something to them, if not now, later on in the long run. So be careful of your words. That last one down there then is your actions. Go over to Proverbs 15:3. Proverbs 15:3. In Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding what? The evil and the good. It's ironic that your book gives you Proverbs 15:3, because look at verses 1 and 2. A soft answer, what is that? The tongue turneth away what? Wrath. These are our words. But grievous words stir up what? Anger. So what you say can cause someone to get more angry, or what you say can cause them maybe to calm down. But then notice verse number 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge how? Aright. But the mouth of fools poureth out what? Foolishness. So my words then can make a difference. But my words are going to come from what? My thoughts. So my thoughts lead to my words. And then also my words are going to lead to my actions. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. By the way, if you believe God is faithful, you have to believe that he will fulfill the law of harvest in your life on your thoughts and your actions and your words. You have to believe that. Amen. Notice B, you've got down there B. So we're watching our thoughts, we're watching our words, watching our actions. B, then see God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. See God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. Now, what do we mean by that? If the law, if this is a law, who's doing the administering of the law? God.
Yeah.
Now, if God is administering the law, who's enforcing the law? God is. God is. So God's going to administer the law, but God's going to enforce the law as well. Amen. This is a sovereign principle. If you put beans in the ground, what can you expect out of the ground? Beans. Amen. God is sovereign over our choices, and based upon your choices, he will render what you plant. You choose it, then he gives you the plant. Amen. We will reap accordingly. If you plant weed seeds, what can you expect to get?
Weeds.
Weeds. Amen. Now, by the way, how can I say this? Have you ever had the chance where you didn't plant weeds, but you got weeds?
Yes.
How many of you know how you get weeds? They pollinate. So if you have a weed plant in your ground and you cut the weed plant and you take it, and what's falling off oftentimes? Little seeds. All the way over to where you go and put it in the garbage. And guess what happens the next year? It grows up. Weeds. And you think, I didn't plant those. How many of y'all ever had dandelions in your yard? How many of y'all planted dandelions in your yard? I don't think anybody goes out to say, I'm going to plant dandelions in my yard. But how many of y'all remember when the dandelion comes to maturity and it gets a little white head there and you go, poof. And what happens to those? What are those? Seeds. Guess where they go? In your yard.
Yep.
And guess what you didn't plant? Dandelions. Amen. By the way, did you know you can eat those stems? My mother got those one time and she said, these are good. I said, I don't know about that. Amen. But we had to eat them anyway. All right. So Proverbs 16 and verse 9. We have 15. Go to 16:9. Was that? They make wine too? I didn't know that. Dandelion wine? Didn't know that. Amen. All right. Proverbs 16:9. Notice what it says here. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his what?
Steps.
In other words, you sow and you reap. Amen. You say, this is the way I'm going. God says, this is what's going to happen when you get there. Amen. All right. So it is sowing and reaping all over again. Amen. If we're living with hidden sin, don't remain comfortable in hidden sin. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to find you out. Man's heart divides his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen. Moses put it this way, be sure your sins will what? Find you out. Amen. Let me read what the author says here. He says, you may be thinking, I don't know if this verse is true. When I was in high school, I cheated on the test and I never got caught. This is on be sure your sins will find you out. Or maybe when I was younger, I stole from a store and nobody ever found out. You may not have gotten caught that instant, but beware, your sin will find you out. It may be in the lives of your children. It may be from living with the guilt. Your consequences can come in a variety of ways, but your sin will find you out eventually. Sin is the best detective this world can ever know or see. You cannot hide from unconfessed sin. Now, when I got saved, I learned of this principle. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't advocate everybody do what I did. When I got saved and learned this principle, I sat my wife down and I told her every little and big sin that I did. Every sin. Why did I tell her that? Keep an open, honest relationship, and I didn't want someone else to come back and tell her something that I did. I wanted to be the one to tell her. If I did it, I want to be the one to tell you. Now I said, look, now I'm not proud of these things. I said, but these are some things that are in my life. These are some things in my background. These are some things that I did. And I said, I don't want somebody to come up to you and say, this is what your husband did, and try to blackmail me and try to get, I said, no, it's not going to happen. I said, I'm not proud of these things. I said, but these are the things, when you married me, this is what you married. When you married me, this is who you married. I said, I'm ashamed that I didn't tell you before I got married, but I thought if I told you before I got married, you wouldn't marry me. I said, but this is what happened, and this is what I did. And I said, and guess what kind of life I was able to live after that? I didn't have to look over my shoulder, because I did some bad stuff.
Yes, you did.
I didn't have to wonder if somebody's going to come and tell her what I did, or tell her what type of person I really was. Why? It was all out. And so if my sins were going to find me out, I wanted to be sure that I was the one that told them out. Amen. And so now I don't advocate everybody do that, but that's how God led me. He said, hey, look, your sins are going to find you out sooner or later. Yeah. You can deal with them now. You can deal with them later. And that's how God dealt with me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to deal with him right now. I was a baby Christian. I was brand new saved. I didn't learn about this principle. And I said, I don't want somebody coming back telling my wife what I did. This is what I did. And guess what? It was liberating. It was liberating. I was honest with her. I was upfront with her. And I was not proud of what I had did. But I understood that it's under the blood. It's covered. But I may get some crops back from what I did. And if I get some crops back, I want her to know to expect these crops. Because I've sowed, and now I know I'm going to reap. And we're going to reap together as a husband and wife. And I want her to know that we're reaping because of what I did, not because of what she did. And guess what? It was so smooth after that. Not so smooth, relatively speaking. Relatively speaking. But I was conscience free. I didn't have to worry about my conscience. And like, oh, should I tell her this is happening because of what I did? Is somebody else going to tell her this is happening because of what I did? I didn't have to worry about that. It was done.
Yes, sir.
And praise God for it. All right, we're going to stop there. I'll give you C, and then we'll cover it next week. C is see the conflict of the garden of your heart. See the conflict of the garden of your heart, and we'll talk about that next week. See the conflict of the garden of your heart. Add on one more verse to that memory verse, Galatians 6, and we'll do 7, 8, and 9. Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 9. It's going to be our memory verse. All right. And Roman number 1, you reap what you sow. A, see your thoughts, words, and actions as seeds. B, see God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. And then C, see the conflict of the garden of your heart. And we'll discuss that next week. Amen. All right. We are going to be dismissed. Amen. But be aware that your thoughts and your actions and your words are seeds that we are sowing. And be very conscious of that with your children, with your boss, with your subordinates, with whoever you work with, your family, your church members. They're seeds, your thoughts, your words, and your actions. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray you'd bless now. And Lord, the thoughts that we have and the words that we say and the actions that we have, knowing that we're sowing seeds all along the way, God, our thoughts and our words and our actions are going to be like dandelions growing up someplace and coming back later on. So help us to do that which is pleasing in your sight. Help us with a memory verse, Lord, to not be weary in well-doing, but knowing that we shall reap if we faint not, Lord, doing that which is right. Bless the refreshments next door. Thank you for those that provided them. Help us have a great time of refreshments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, you are dismissed.